Peace and grace be unto you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved in Christ, I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I praise God for this blessed time in my life. And at this moment, I bring greetings from the Andhra Evangelical Lutheran Church, the largest Lutheran church in India, with 1.2 million believers, 850 pastors, and more than 4,000 congregations. As the pastor has said, I may share some of the church's challenges during coffee time. Now at this moment, I express my gratitude to Reverend Gregory Freyer for having given me this opportunity to minister the word of God today in this church. I also thank my childhood friend Jairav for having brought me into your midst. Yesterday, I spent some time with one of the Lutheran pastors here who happens to be from India. He says that in India, people listen to sermons. They are very good listeners. But in US, people are doers. So I am happy about that statement from an Indian friend of mine. And I am privileged to bring the word of God to you this morning. So before we go for our meditation, may we look to God in prayer for his guidance and filling up with the Spirit. Let us pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have brought us into thy awesome presence this morning to give our thanks and praise and honor to you. Lord, let this time be a time of adoration and glory unto you, Lord. We want to praise you and worship you, Lord. As we meditate thy word, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you. In Jesus' precious name, we ask these things. Amen. It gives me joy to note that today, Madeleine, the first child of Francis, Johanna Francis, and Michael Hicks is going to be baptized. I congratulate Johanna and Michael Hicks on this auspicious occasion. Sometimes in India, we go for vaccination and giving polio drops to infants. And I think they do not know the purpose or the meaning of that exercise. But the parents believe that by this vaccination and giving polio drops, the child is going to be free from certain diseases. I believe similarly, when we baptize our infants, we believe that this act provides a spiritual protection for the child, and the faith of the parents is taken into reckoning when we baptize our children. Therefore, Johanna and Michael have the responsibility of nurturing this child in the love of God and prepare her for confirmation day when she accepts Jesus as her personal savior. Baptism is not an invention of a man or a church. According to John 1:33, God the Father instituted the baptism. According to Matthew 28:39, God the Son commanded it. And according to Acts 2:38, God the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles to instruct the believers to be baptized. So baptism is a testimony of our identification with the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Romans 6 chapter verses 3 to 6. In other words, in baptism, we symbolically say, I died to sin and I am buried with Christ and I am raised with Christ to live for God a new life. No spiritual experience is a substitute for water baptism. Therefore, I believe from here and now, this child belongs to the triune God. May we pray for this child in a special way today so that she grows in God's care and protection. Then, as we look at today's gospel lesson, I want to place before you an important question for our meditation today. The question is found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 42. It reads like this: what do you think of the Christ? We have gone through the scripture portion in the gospel. Jesus, having answered three questions put to him by the Jewish leaders, one regarding the payment of taxes, the second one regarding resurrection, and the third one regarding the most important commandment, now poses this question to the Pharisees: what do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, Jesus was the son of David. We know that the favorite messianic title among the Jews was Son of David, which they interpreted in highly nationalistic and revolutionary terms. As a response to their answer, Jesus quotes Psalm 110 verse 1, which reads like this: the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Psalm 110 is recognized by all the Jews as one of the greatest messianic psalms, to assert not only his humanity but also his deity. When we look at this passage, Matthew chapter 22 verses 43 to 45, it is a prophetic summary of the doctrine of Christ. It describes Jesus executing the offices of a prophet, a priest, and a king. Christ quotes the whole verse, Psalm 110:1, which shows the Redeemer in his exaltation, one sitting at the right hand of God, and the second subduing his enemies. So, Jesus' scriptural logic completely confounded his enemies. It puzzled them and it silenced them. But we see in the scripture portion, though they were convinced that Jesus Christ was the Son of David, no less was he the Son of God, the Pharisees were not converted. Having realized that Christ was the Son of God, they did not take a stand that day. That's what we have seen in the scripture portion today. Now the question is, how about us? What do we think of Christ today? Personally, each one of you may have this question: what do I think of Christ today? What do you think of the Christ today? Today, most of us are so busy, we think not of the Christ at all. Jesus Christ has no priority in our thoughts, unfortunately. I am sure the life of such people is miserable and they are doomed to eternal punishment. I believe some of us today think demeaningly and some others think harshly of the Christ. How sad this is again. They are worse than the first category of people. Now emerges the largest group among Christians who think that Christ is a healer, Christ is a physician, Christ is a protector, defender, and a miracle worker. And this group of people think they are blessed and loved by God. True, but if your estimate of Christ is limited to this level, I think you are also on the path of destruction. The question is, what do you think of the Christ? The early church thought of Christ as the Redeemer. For Dr. Martin Luther, Christ is gracious God, kenotic Christ. For Bonhoeffer, Christ is man for others. For Tillich, Christ is link between finite and infinite. Back home in India, a social reformer called Raja Ram Mohan Roy thinks Christ as an ethical Christ. For our father of the nation in India, Mahatma Gandhi, Christ is non-violent Christ. For another Hindu philosopher, Panikkar, Christ is the unknown Christ of Hinduism. So people have different interpretations of Jesus according to their convenience. Now the question is, in this multi-religious, multicultural society, where there is poverty, where there is patriarchy, where there is oppression, where there is inequality, where there is terrorism, what think of ye Christ? What do you think of Christ? A very challenging question. In the scripture, we have the confessions of so many people to this question. I would like to quote a few for our convenience this morning. When Jesus was born, the angel Gabriel announced to the shepherds the birth of a Savior, which was Christ the Lord, and the shepherds immediately accepted Jesus, son of David, as their Savior. So they thought of Jesus Christ as the Savior. And the wise men from the east, when they came to child Jesus, they saw in him a king. They fell down, worshipped him, and presented unto him gifts. And when child Jesus was brought to the temple, Simeon saw in the infant Jesus salvation prepared before the face of all people. For Saint John, Jesus was the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. For John the Baptist, Jesus was the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. On one occasion, Simon Peter calls him the Son of the Living God. On another occasion, Simon Peter says, Jesus is one who has the words of eternal life. And at the time of crucifixion of Jesus, for Pilate, Jesus of Nazareth was the King of the Jews. For the thief on the cross, Jesus had a kingdom in days to come. And finally, Thomas the disciple, he put his fingers in the wounds of Jesus and comes out with a great confession that Jesus was his Lord and his God. So this morning the question is, what do you think of the Christ? How important Christ is in your life? Is he confined to a photo frame who always blesses you, heals you, defends you, protects you? Or is it above that? In the Old Testament lesson today, the portion that has been read out to us from the book of Leviticus, repeatedly said, it is said, I am your Lord. I am your Lord. The Word of God says, Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 16, we read that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is soon coming, and our life in this world is uncertain, and this is the time of salvation, this is the day of salvation, and we have to take a decision today. It's no longer a postponement to take a decision with regard to Lord Jesus. Oswald J. Smith, in his book, The Country I Love Best, says, the question that settles the destiny of a man is, what have you done with my son Jesus, whom I have sent to this world to redeem you. What have you done to Jesus? What is your estimate of Jesus? The gospel lesson also stresses the importance of loving our God with all our heart, mind and soul. So this is the accepted time, and may we look to God and accept Jesus not only as our personal Savior but also the King in our life, who dictates and directs our lives so that we enjoy the joy and the blessed time not only in this world but in the next world as well. May God bless this world. Let us pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, that we have seen who you are. We know who you are, Lord, but still we hesitate to take a decision with regard to our personal testimony. Today, help us accept you as not only our Savior, but also as the King of our lives, so that we may have a blessed time. In Jesus' precious name, we ask these things. Amen.